How do we define love?
Some people describe love as a desire to be with a specific person. Others define it as an affection for a particular person. Yet for others, love is a romantic attraction which involves passion. Yet in talking about love, we have to consider divine love, God's unconditional love for each of us. So we have love for each other, God's love for us, but we must also consider Jesus when he said we must consider our neighbor, whom we must love as ourselves. Mae West agreed with Jesus. She had a particular twist on it, though. Mae West said, "Love thy neighbor, and if he happens to be tall, debonair, and devastating, it will be that much easier." When we listen to love songs and read quotes on love, rarely did they describe, however, how a lover is to act, and perhaps equally important, what a lover must do to be an authentic lover. As a minister, I have read and heard over and over again the descriptions of love from St. Paul. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. These are words which every person here in this nave has heard over and over again at weddings and at funerals. I must confess that after a while the words start to gloss over me. But then I have to stop myself and ask, why are St. Paul's words used over and over and over again? Is it because love is so common? Movies are made about love. Novels are written about love. And many, if most, songs are about love. Of course, country western songs are mostly about lost loves. People marry because of love. And yet, divorce also occurs because love did not flourish, but grew stale and died. So we ask, why does love die? In answering these questions, I want to reflect on St. Paul's experience of love. St. Paul sets the stage for the characteristics of love when he announces that if he, Paul, preaches the gospel without love, then his preaching is nothing more than noise. And he equates his words to a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And we can add a person beating loudly on a drum or puffing on a whistle. Paul strives to make it clear that to his audience that regardless of what he preaches, that if he does so without love, his preaching is meaningless. And to any preacher, these words must sting, and if they do, it's time to leave the pulpit. To any lover, these words can sting. And if they do, then it's time to forget words, and for the lover to prove what the lover wants to show by a life lived, not by words. And this is especially true for parents, for the life of a mother and father, the life that they live, is so much more vital than what they say. What they say to their children is not as important as how they live their lives. Paul continues by stating that even if he has terrific intellectual expertise but does not have love, then he is nothing. He further declares that even if he understands all mysteries, but there is no love in his heart, then he is nothing. Then he really emphasizes the absolute power of love when he proclaims that even if he has faith so strong, as he states, able to move mountains, but does not have love, he is nothing. Now, everyone here is read parts of or all of Paul's letters, and it's pretty clear he's an outspoken person. So when he says he is nothing, it's not hyperbole. He really means it. He is nothing. He means what he says. He next talks about the importance of love when he says that even if he gives away everything he owns and boasts about his giving, but does so without love, he gains nothing. St. Paul details how a person shows love and what a person acts that does not show love. It's quite a list. Paul affirms that if someone says they love someone but acts rudely, then their rude behavior proves they do not love, because a person cannot act with love and also act rudely. Paul states that a person loves somebody, but they behave in an irritable manner, And if they are irritable, this would prove they do not love, because a person cannot love and conduct themselves in an irritable manner. Paul continues and describes what a person who is a lover will not do. A true lover is not envious or resentful, boastful, conceited, arrogant, or egotistical. St. Paul states that a lover does not insist on getting his or her own way. And I take this to mean that a lover will do everything in his or her power to accommodate the will of the person loved. Don't we see this in young lovers? And by young lovers, I mean those who have fallen in love regardless of age. When asked what movie they want to see, the young lover will answer, "Whatever you want, dear." We have to ask Paul, since he lists what acts do not show love, then what acts do confirm love. Paul says that those who love are patient, they're tolerant, and they're persistent in their love. Perhaps a better way of saying it is to ask a young child what they think about a lover and a person who loves. And their words that they would use is, "A person who loves is kind. A person who loves is nice. A person who loves is gentle. A person who loves rejoices in the truth." Paul emphasizes that a person who loves accepts and bears all things and supports the person loved, trusts and believes all things, and hopes for the best of the person loved. I think a wisdom key to opening up Paul's description of love is a statement that he also makes, and that love never ends. In attending funerals and in ministering to those in grieving, I found this belief to be true. The soul of the person who died remains in those who are loved and loved by the deceased. Their body is gone, but their loving soul remains with the widow or widower or surviving children for the rest of their lives. And in fact, that love, which never ends, can even be passed on to individuals who have never really met the person who was loved and now deceased. Love never ends is a true and powerful statement. We know that hatred does not last forever. Only love does. The force of love is more immense than our universe. And maybe that's why we humans, can somehow grasp God's love for us and God's energy in His love for us. St. Paul reminds us that knowledge will come to an end, understanding will go away, possessions will be lost, but love, true love, will remain into eternity. I think that St. Paul's perception of what love is and how love operates and what love is not came about through his sense of the resurrected Christ. Paul's awareness of the resurrected Christ turned him to love, and maybe another way of saying it, turned him into love. His internalization of divine love brought his interactions with those he met to a new and different level. What St. Paul did was take the word love as a noun, and change it into a verb, an action, a person who loves. Paul did not describe love, he lived love. And to make it clear, that's what this message is all about. By taking the word love and not just talking about it, but striving over and over again to live it. My message is addressed to me. My message is shared with you. Don't just read about love. Don't just hear about love. But live it. Act it. As Jesus said, every good tree bears good fruit. And you know people by their fruits. When we look at ourselves in a mirror, the questions are pretty straightforward. What fruits are we bearing? How do we love? Are we patient? Kind? Nice? Or are we envious, boastful, arrogant, rude, irritable, or resentful? Do we insist on our own way? What are the fruits that we bear? Perhaps the ultimate question, and one we don't want to ask, is to ask those who we love what they think and feel. Most of us would probably not want to do that, but maybe we should. Amen.